And we'll look at verses in Romans, the first chapter, as a basis for our study this morning. Romans chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 7 as a basis for our study. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated in the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think about the phrase that Paul uses there, called to be saints. Those who are beloved of God, he said, called to be saints. Verse 6, he talked about them being the called of Jesus Christ. Those who are the called of Jesus Christ are called to be saints. There's a great deal of misunderstanding in our society today in regard to the use of the word saint and who, in fact, is a saint. I want us to look at this from the standpoint of finding out just who is a saint, and then hopefully we can give some encouragement to those who are saints. Being a saint implies a certain type of conduct. That's what we hope to illustrate, point out in our study at this time. So, as you think about this idea of called to be a saint, we want to talk first of all about just what a saint is. As we noted, there is a great deal of misunderstanding and confusion among people today in answer to this question. If you look in your Bibles, many of them will have titles of the New Testament books listed as St. Matthew, St. John, St. Paul, St. Peter, while other texts will leave off the abbreviation for the word saint. The Catholic canon of saints, such as St. George, St. Joan of Arc, and St. Patrick, St. Valentine, and there are many, many others that have been made saints by the Catholic Church. These are people who they suppose have had some miraculous powers and have been dead for a period of time. Then upon proper recommendation, the Pope beatifies, then canonizes that particular person. There will probably, if I don't recall this has taken place yet or not, a canonization of Mother Teresa. It may have already happened, don't recall. But this is the kind of thing that takes place in the Roman Catholic Church, that they refer to certain people as saints. In our society, sainthood is a human religious concept. In commendation, it's a commendation extended by various individuals exalting one person over another person. People will make statements and say, well, you're just a saint. Well, they may not even be a fourth or second cousin to a saint. But because they've done some good deed or something of that nature, they are referred to in that way. But then there's those, on the other hand, will make the statement, well, I'm no saint. What they mean by that is that sometimes I'm not really a good person. And so we have this skewed idea of what a saint is. When they say, I'm no saint, but I've done this or that good deed, or I did this for someone, or I did this for someone else, or whatever, but I'm no saint. Well, what is a saint? How does the Bible use the term saint? I think you'll see that the New Testament concept of the word saint, or who is a saint, is quite different. It's not a status reserved for a privileged few, but it is a way available to all who are willing to obey God and live as He has directed in His Word. Solomon used the term to apply to all of God's people at the dedication of the temple. 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 41. He said, "Now therefore arise, O Lord God, unto thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness." Here Solomon refers to God's people as saints. In the Psalm, David calls on saints to fear God in chapter 34, verse 9. In chapter 31, verse 23, he calls upon saints to love God. Chapter 30, verse 4, he calls upon saints to sing to God. In Psalm 132, verse 9, there he calls upon saints to shout for joy. Love the Lord, fear the Lord, sing to the Lord, shout for joy. These are actions in which saints engage that David talked about. As you look at the salutation of the Apostle Paul in many of his letters that he wrote, you'll find him using this word saint. Romans 1 verse 7, 1 Corinthians 1, 2, 2 Corinthians 1, 1, Ephesians 1, 1, Philippians 1, 1, and Colossians 1, 2. All these contain the word saints. And Paul applies this term to those to whom he addresses these various letters. To the saints at Rome, the saints at Corinth. These letters are addressed to saints. In Romans chapter 8, there at verse 7, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for saints. You might also know the usage of the word saint in Acts chapter 9, there at verse 13. When Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem." This is in reference to what Paul did. "It came to pass as Peter passed down all quarters, he came down to all sorts of saints which dwelt at Lydda." That's verse 32 of Acts chapter 9. And in verse 41, "He gave her his hand and lifted her up when he had called the saints and widows presented her alive." All these terms, all these particular situations use the term saint in reference to God's people. And as we noted, Romans 8 verse 7, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints. "He that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Saints. There's nothing in Scripture anywhere that I know of, and if you can find it, I'd like to be shown, where anywhere in Scripture it says anything about saints interceding with God for man. We have that discussed and talked about quite frequently, especially among the Roman Catholics, about various saints interceding for others. Nowhere in Scripture is this even hinted at. We know that Christians are to minister to the needs of the saints. In Romans chapter 12, there at verse 13, attributing to the necessity of the saints, given hospitality. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10, we talk about the widow there, well reported of for good work. If she have brought up children, she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, she will relieve the afflicted if she have diligently followed every good work. We, as children of God, minister to saints. I think I got behind here. We'll catch up. When Paul brought funds for relief, Romans chapter 15, for the hungering in Judea, he referred to them as saints. This is the Bible usage of the word itself and those to whom it refers. Well, what in fact does the Bible mean, or what does the word saint mean? In the Greek, this Greek word hagios is used over 200 times in noun and adjective form, and it literally means holy or holy one. In Vincent's Word Studies, he says the root idea is charity, freedom from admixture of evil. This is volume 1, page 587. The root meaning is charity. Understand that all God's people are to be chaste or to be pure. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. They're to be free from evil. Paul said to the Corinthians, For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That means pure, without impurity, freedom from admixture of evils. 1 Peter 3 and verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, Peter talking about the woman who had an unbelieving husband, they see the kind of behavior of their wives. And Peter said they can be won by the conversation or the manner of life of the wife. Now, as we think about this, we conclude that all God's children are called saints. We are sanctified. The word sanctified just simply means set apart. Let me hasten to add that it doesn't mean a trouble-free life. Because the Bible refers to God's people as saints, that doesn't mean they're going to have a trouble-free life. Remember, there in Acts chapter 9, and verse 13, when Ananias talked about Paul, or Saul at the time, I've heard about this man by many, how much evil he had done to thy saints in Jerusalem. The saints in Jerusalem had suffered terribly at the hands of Saul of Tarsus. They had been beaten, had been put in prison. Some of them had even been killed. So we're not talking about a trouble-free life. As Paul talked about in Acts 26 and verse 10, he said, many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. So when you talk about someone being a saint, you're not talking about somebody that has a trouble-free life. It doesn't mean that you'll never be in need. Remember, in Romans chapter 12, it talks about distributing to the necessity of the saints in Jerusalem. Saints sometimes were in need. And in Romans 15, there, verse 25 and 26, it says, Paul said, but now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints, which in Jerusalem sometimes saints are poor. As we say today, they're poor. Doesn't mean that because you're a saint, you always have everything you need. Sometimes saints are poor. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, remember Paul said, for it's touching ministering to the saints. Then in verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also with many thanksgiving unto God. Supplying the want of the saints. They were in need, literally, of physical things. This illustrates to us, gives us a very vivid picture of a saint. A holy one. One has been separated from the world. Paul said to the Corinthians, come ye out from London, be ye separate, said the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We have been separated from the world. We're called to be saints. So those thoughts in mind now, let's look at the conduct of saints. Conduct becoming saints. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, as Paul wrote to the saints there in Ephesus, he said, but fornication and all uncleanness, all covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. These kinds of things are not a part of the life of a saint. We're talking about those that have been cleansed of their sin, those that have been dedicated to Jesus Christ. Those people should act like they've been dedicated to Christ. We need to act like we've been separated from the world. This includes abstinence from sins, such as fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, the things that Paul talked about there in Ephesians chapter 5. We read there from verse 3, but let's look a little bit further there in Ephesians chapter 5. Well, let's just back up and read from verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But be not ye therefore partakers with them. And then he gives a reason. Verse 8. For ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You changed from being a child of the devil to being a child of God. Paul in Galatians chapter 5 has a list there beginning in verse 19 of Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Out of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. When individuals involve themselves in the practices of ungodly people, practices of the world, we're no longer saints. We're no longer holy. Even though at one time we may have been sanctified, we may have been added to the family of God. But those who are part of the family of God must act like they're the family of God. But not only does it require us putting off of these things and getting rid of these sins that Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 5, it also includes positive, active goodness. It's not just all negative, but there's a positive side. In Psalms 107 and verse 2, there the psalmist records these words: Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to be telling what the Lord has done for us, as recorded in Mark chapter 5, there verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said to him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. We need to be telling people about what God has done for us. He's made us saints. He's made us holy. As Jesus phrases in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We mentioned the passage of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 a moment ago in regard to the woman who had an unbelieving husband. He said, Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. That's talking about the manner of life. In fact, it's translated manner of life in newer translations. While they behold, that means while they see, your chaste or your pure conversation, your pure manner of life, coupled with fear. The word fear means reverence, a respect for God. What are they seeing? They're seeing a pure, exemplary life. A life that results from the fact that you have been cleansed from your sin. You've been made over into a saint, a child of God. Conduct, becoming of saints. Something we need to be thinking about. Does my conduct show to the world that I have been bought with a price, that I have been added to the family of God, that I'm a part of his kingdom, that I have sainthood? Let's talk a little bit now about blessing of saints. We talked earlier about the intercession of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, there at verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We have someone who pleads for us with words that we can't understand. Scripture talks about with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit pleads for us. Think about what a blessing it is to have the Spirit of God pleading for you before your Father. That's because we are a fellow citizen and part of the household of God. Ephesians 2, verse 19. You're no more strangers and foreigners. You're no longer outside looking in. You are now fellow citizens with the saints and all the household of God. What a tremendous blessing it is to understand that I am not now a part of the family of God. I'm His child, to be called a child of God. We also refer to as heirs of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. We like that idea of inheritance. You know, a lot of people have families that have a lot of wealth. And sometimes they're named in their will, and they get a pretty good sum of money, or get a piece of land or a house or whatever the case may be. We describe that as an inheritance. Why? Because they're heirs. They're named in the will. We are heirs. Heirs of God. Fellow citizens. We are the household of God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet. The word meet means suitable. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. He's made us suitable. How has He done that? We wash us in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Got rid of all of our sins. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Joint heirs with Christ. Do you understand that whatever Jesus inherits, we're going to inherit? He's our older brother. We are children of God. And how do we become saints? We're called to be saints by the gospel. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, this involves obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, we talked about it earlier. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about hell in our Bible study period. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on whom? Those that know not God. Those that do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. When one obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are then added to the family of God, the Lord's church. They're sanctified. They are the called out of God. Because the Lord added them in Acts 2 verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. The church is the family of God, the household of God, the house of God. It's His family. We're in that body that constitutes His family. As a result, we are sanctified. And those who are added are expected to act in accordance with what the name suggests. We are the saints of God. We are children of God. One and the same thing. There's no special title involved in being a saint. It's simply one who has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, been added by the Lord to His church, the body of Christ, the saved. But when we become a part of that body, we are expected to act in a manner that indicates that we are a part of that body. Called to be saints. That's you, that's me. All that have been baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, been added to the family of God. Christ is coming to be glorified by His saints and to glorify them. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's begin reading there at verse 7. Read through about verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7. And you are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Now listen to verse 10. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Why are we going to be glorified? Because we believe the testimony. That's how we become saints. And one day the Lord's going to come back and He's going to be glorified by His saints and He's going to glorify those who are saints. So, the question that arises, very simple question. Are you a saint? Have you been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ? You might spell that word sanctified and make it sanctified, because it means the same thing. You've been made into a saint through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only way you can be sanctified is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Understand, you can't afford not to be in that number. Because only those who are saints are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. So if you can't refer to yourself today as a saint, you're not going to be in that number. You're going to be lost eternally in the devil's hell. As we studied in our Bible class this morning, prepared for the devil and his angels. Not prepared for people. Heaven's prepared for a prepared people. It's prepared for saints. Are you a saint? You're not if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Certainly it's possible in any audience that there might be one who's never obeyed the gospel. And if that's the case, you can do that today. As you repent of your sins, having believed in Jesus Christ, then you confess him as your Lord and Master. And then you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sin. The Lord will add you to his church. If you have been sanctified, and at some point in time you cease acting like a saint, you need to return to the Lord, confessing your sins and asking him to forgive you. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come.